Yes, thank you. For those of you who don't know, I tried to do some horse riding in Argentina and discovered it's not the best idea to be under the horse. Anyway, I'm pretty good at walking, as you can see now. I can stand for a while. If I keel over, Jeff has volunteered to put me back upright again. I think I'm very glad that I have only just seen Mackenzie's talk, because otherwise I think I might have been rather put off building what we've attempted to build at OECD, because it really does seem rather daunting and scary. But then perhaps I can comfort myself with feeling that we're ahead of Amazon. We always have been ahead of Amazon, because our ratio of e-books to downloads is something like 6 to 1 on the E to the P, and we're selling about 250,000 print a year, so we're doing an awful lot of downloads. And the tipping point for us economically was back in 2002, when we started selling more E than we did P. So it's really nice to be ahead of Amazon. Anyway, I'm going to talk about the data, and this is something that is an issue that's been worrying me. OECD is a very big, for those who don't know the OECD, we're a really big producer of data, of economic data. And the biggest challenge is actually people finding data. And that's really the problem that I've been working on for some time. Most of the statisticians I work with, they have this very cute idea that if you have Google and a website, you will find the data. And they think that this is all that you need. I've got two slides up here. The top one is a new American government Obama initiative called data.gov, which is supposed to be revolutionizing the access to US government data, except it isn't. Because while they've produced a nice-looking website where, yes, you can go and you can find the US government data, if you go there and actually search for obesity data on the United States, you don't find a thing. And that's because, of course, the way that the data has been collected is in basically just nothing more than a catalog system, and it really has no metadata, so to understand the data that's behind it. The usage of data.gov, as measured by Alexa, is less than data.gov.uk, so it suggests that they've got something wrong. The site underneath is the OECD's Statistics Department website, and it's what they call their statistics portal. We did some user testing on this last week, and to say it was a disaster was an understatement. Users were getting very, very lost. And all this does is tells me that, in fact, people get very, very irritated when they look at the sites that are prepared by people who are not data publishers but data producers, because I think the data producers don't know how to publish their data. Now, I take as my sort of text today this rather excellent paper that was put out by Simon Inger and Tracy Gardner in 2008. And this is, they obviously did a presentation. I ripped these slides off the web, which was all about how readers navigate to scholarly content. And I think it's well worth going back and revisiting this, because if you understand this, you might understand how to publish data. Now, what they were doing was they were looking at how readers find journal articles. I don't believe that people who are looking for journal articles or books or data actually behave in a different fashion. Basically, what they're looking for are answers to questions. They're not specifically looking for a journal article. They're just simply looking for stuff that will help them do their work. So I think what's been found from this particular survey applies just as much to data as it does to books or to journals. Now, what did the survey find? They found, if you're following a citation that you've already got, that there are 11 different ways of actually using that citation to find the cited object. So there's not one route to actually find it. There's many routes. And on the left there, you won't be able to read this. I can barely read it here. On the left there, it's going to a specific bibliographic database. And that's what people do most. So they actually go to an A&I engine before they even go to the journal homepage. The journal homepage is only third in this particular rank. Second rank there is library web pages. They actually go to the libraries to go and look. It's when they have a citation in their hand. So I think that it's interesting that it's the variety of different routes that they use. But if they search, what do they do? And even the searching behavior is not consistent. Not everyone reaches for Google. And again, there are 11 different starting points for people's search behavior. And specialist bibliographic databases actually beat general search engines like Google. So again, people are going to their specialist engines before they go to Google. But they're also going to a lot of other places. They go to publishers' websites, they go to library sites, they go to specialist sites for your subject. And OECD works in economics. And a very large starting point for us is a site that's been mentioned earlier today called REPEC. And that's where people, most economists go when they start to do their searching. And you know, even the libraries are being heavily used as a starting point. Now, if you could map all that together, you get what I call a discovery web. And this shows all the different routes that people use and their various popularities in order to be able to actually discover a journal article. And if you were to map onto that data, assuming that you're relying on Google and your own web page, that's the limit of the discoverability of your data. So you're actually missing out an awful lot of channels to get your data discovered. And you're going to then have your data is going to be used an awful lot less than it might be. And I've been a big proponent for equal opportunities for data. I don't see why data should be treated as a second-class scholarly output, which it seems to be. And I think that, therefore, data needs to be published properly, which means that we've actually got to find a way of populating all the other discovery channels that are used for journals so that data sets can be discovered just as easily as journals. So what does it take to actually make data equal? Well, it means you've actually got to build all these things and you've got to provide these services if you're actually going to map and populate all these different channels. So you've got to start off with a data set homepage with a DOI. If you haven't got a data set homepage, you haven't got the equivalent of a journal homepage. You've got to think of an alerting system. A lot of databases are updated. And so how are you going to tell people when the data has been updated? There's obviously the data sets, you know, should be listed on sites like Archive. Why if you go to Archive, can't you find physics data? Why when you go to REPEC, can you not find economic data? And why can't librarians be given MART records so they can actually catalogue data sets? I've yet to meet a librarian that actually has catalogued all the 390 data sets that the OECD has. Most librarians have got one link saying somewhere in their catalogue saying OECD data. And that's really not good enough. But then again, what have we done to help the librarian? Nothing. We haven't been given the MART records yet. Datasets need to be in abstracting indexing services. So if you go to EconLit, you should be able to find our data. So you can see the platform, even datasets and aggregation platforms. In Ingenta Connect, why can't you find OECD data in Ingenta Connect or in EBSCO? Why not? So, of course, it's a lot of work, and that's probably why it's holding people back. But I also think that at the moment, the people involved are not the people who know how to do all that stuff. So what we've attempted to do is to do exactly that, is to actually tick all those particular boxes. And we've done that to actually build, and in doing this, we've actually built ourselves a new publishing platform. And this publishing platform has in it our journals, our books, our working papers, and our data. And it's all done using the same methodology in terms of the metadata. All those same principles that you use for e-journals, we've used for all our stuff. And I call this a stuff engine, rather than being, it's not a journal platform that's been adapted for everything else, it's a stuff platform. And we reckon we can publish pretty much anything on this platform. It doesn't matter whether it's a podcast or it's a piece of data. We can publish it in this platform in a way that's going to tick all those boxes that I showed you before. So we got our periodicals there, we got our books there, and we got our working papers there, and that was actually relatively easy to build. But we've also got data sets in there. So we've actually got not supplementary data. This is original data sets that we publish in their own right as an object. They're not hanging off something else. And then we've also got data tables that we do hang off books or journal articles. And those data tables are largely published in Excel. Everything has got a DOI. Okay, so earlier you were hearing about the growth of DOIs for ebooks in Crossref. I'd love to know actually how Crossref classified the tables that we attach in our ebooks, because we have something like 20,000 tables actually attached to our books. And as far as we're concerned, they're part of the book and they just simply flow through. So I imagine that, that Crossref probably sees that stuff as book chapters, but in fact it's data. And it's all got one search engine that sits across the whole platform at the top. And this is what the search results look like. So if I search for something like health data, I'd end up with this search result. I'm sure you can't see at the back or even at the front, but I'm going to help you here. That's a piece of data. That's what it's found, and it gives you a little data icon so you know it's a piece of data. It's also found a working paper, and we've tagged the search results so you know that you found a working paper, and that's available as a PDF file. It's also found a chapter in a book, and it's found a table, and that table is available both as a HTML page, as a PDF, and as an Excel file. We found that people really love to be able to take away and play with the data, so we give them the Excel file, but they also want to print it out, and which is why we also give them the PDF file. Altogether, that's what we've got in terms of numbers of data sets and the number of tables in this platform. And in fact, we have more Excel files in the platform than we have any other file type, which was a big surprise to us when we actually built it. We didn't realize we actually had so many Excel files sitting in our systems. But what's important is, and this is the key point, every single object has the same bibliographic status. It's got the same set of metadata behind it so that we can then do with it everything that you would expect to find that you can do with a journal. So basically, we can now have ticked all these boxes in blue. They're all live. The stuff in grey, we're still developing. Mark records for data sets, I hope, by the end of the year. Next year, we're going to be uploading all the data sets by pushing all the metadata to RepEC, and we'll be pushing it onto EconLit as well. And we'll be developing an alerting system for data. It's a bit more tricky with data. How do you know when the piece of the data set has been updated? So we're still trying to work out on that. But we've already got the data sets in Ingenta Connect. We've got all our data in one place, so we have more data from us. And most important of all, we've got DOIs on all of our data sets. Now, some people say, well, why are you doing all this? People are not interested in data. So we built a little tool that we think is quite amusing. If I can find the cursor here, I'll take you to a website. This website shows people in real time downloading data from our platform. And there we are, 29 minutes ago, someone in Spain downloaded that particular data set. And you can see so far today, it's been 2,297, 98, and so on. And what's even more fun is you can actually click on the link and you can see which bit of data. I missed that one, it went away too fast. It's not my computer, so of course it's doing downloads. Here we are. How does this work? Is it the bottom one? Because we can actually go and see what it was that they downloaded, which can be quite amusing to see what it is that someone's just downloaded. So this particular chart came from a book called Measuring Innovation, A New Perspective. As you can see, that the chart at the top there has got the ISBN of the book because we actually embed the metadata of the books inside all the charts so that people can follow it back. And you can see that that's a link in its own right. And that link will take them back to the book homepage in the iLibrary. So the idea here is you can take the data away, but then you can follow it back to where it came from. So it's all the idea of connectedness. This particular chart looks quite interesting because you can see it's actually got a graphic embedded in it as well, because we're working with the authors. Sometimes they embed the graphics in it, and you can obviously get the data that's hiding behind there as well. So that one I just took at random. So that's what we're doing in terms of and it shows that people are very, very keen to get hold of the data. Last year, we delivered 1.5 million Excel files off the platform, and it shows that people, if they're given a chance, they really do want to get hold of the data. Now, the other fun thing that we've been doing is building a tool so people can cite the data, and I'm just going to show you that. So I'm just going to go into the... because the next game, of course, is to get people to cite our data sets. At the moment, I'll just fire off a search while I... At the moment, if you read The Economist, you'll see quite often our data is cited in The Economist. And The Economist is very helpful, and they say at the bottom of all the charts and the graphs, they say source colon OECD. Except, of course, it's not very helpful when you've got 700 data sets sitting in a platform, because which particular data set did it come from? And we've been on at all the newspapers and to try and get them to actually use a DOI so they will actually cite and help the readers find the data. Because now we've got a citation tool so that people can now take away a citation for a database. This is one of our health databases. And you can export it to EndNote and RefManager and ProCite and BibTeX and RefWorks, just as you would from a journal article. And we're hoping that people will start to do that, because if they do that, it will then appear in the citation listing at the end of the journal article. And thanks to CrossRef, then that link will become live, and people will be able to actually go and consult the data set that the author has cited. And this is brand new. I don't know any other publisher that's doing this. DataCite are trying to encourage people to do this as well. But for me, this is crucial, is to try and change the behavior of authors so they actually cite data as if they were citing a journal article or a book chapter, and they don't just do what they used to do, which is put source colon whatever it was under the chart or a graph, because that's not good enough anymore. So that's what I've got to say, and thank you very much for your attention. Any questions? Yes. Yes, pretty much. In fact, in our system, we've got some data sets that are not hosted by... So the question was, is this all OECD's data? Most of it is, but we do have some data sets that we don't host that we actually co-publish, and therefore they're in the system. The homepage is here, and if you follow the link, it'll just take you off to another server somewhere else. We don't have to host the data inside.
What do you allow people to do with the data once they've downloaded it, other than look at it?
Anything they like.
Anything. Okay.
As long as they don't resell it, we do draw the line at that. If you're interested in reading a white paper that describes the metadata schema, there's that bottom link there will take you to a white paper that describes all the metadata schema that we've used to develop up the data side. Any further questions? Okay, well, thank you very much.